We have two readings today. The first is the basis for the series on the fruits of the Spirit. We are concluding today with Galatians 5, verses 13 to 26. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. You can follow along on page 190 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You should love your neighbors as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There are no laws against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. The second reading today is the one Pastor Kelly will reflect on as we hear about the fruits of the Spirit called gentleness. This scripture is 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 17, which you can find on page 234 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Finally, all of you have unity of the Spirit, sympathy, love for one another, and a gentle heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that we were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from the evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be intimidated. but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good than suffering should, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer from doing evil. Here ends today's reading.
So just in case you ever need to know, the opening song we sing today is my favorite. It celebrates the Spirit of God and describes the Spirit's role in creation as Spirit called to the deep. It celebrates Spirit's role in guiding the people when Spirit stung with the sand and goaded your people with a law and a land. It celebrates the Spirit's role in bringing forth what is to come, saying, you spoke through your prophets to open their eyes. With bold new decisions, your people arise. The song is Spirit by Jim Manley. And at times as I hear this song, I'm left to wonder, how exactly is this Spirit gentle? The Holy Spirit is a powerful force and one of the personas of God. Spirit creates and grows and calls forth the history of God's people. The Holy Spirit is to be celebrated, and that is why we have the season of Pentecost. Jesus himself warned us that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was a sin that could not be forgiven. We, as followers of Jesus, are called to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And when the Apostle Paul talked about the fruits of the Spirit, he was not creating a nice theological framework that could be taught in Sunday school. He was teaching foundational ideas about what it meant to follow Jesus in our own world. And we've been exploring these fruits of the Spirit all summer long. And I hope we've learned how they can enhance our spirituality and our faith journeys. Today, we end with gentleness. How exactly are we to be gentle in this world that we live in? I'm guessing there are a few of you who, like me, are thinking, it's 2019. Racism and hatred and sexism are on the rise. Climate change is happening. People are migrating. This is no time for gentleness. I kindly ask you to stay with me. Trust me, this is a fruit for the 21st century. Our text this morning comes from 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is likely one of the earliest texts of the Christian church. While not all scholars agree, it was likely dictated, if not written, by Peter. The disciple who followed Jesus and whose travels after the resurrection are documented in the book of Acts. Last week, we looked at the letter of James, and we learned that the early Christians expected the second coming of Jesus at any moment. Peter's letter was not directed at any particular church, but to many churches throughout Asia Minor. And they too expected the second coming of Jesus at any moment. But they were also contending with Nero's persecution of Christians. Like us, they lived in a time where hatred was becoming violent. Their time was probably a bit more violent than ours, but violence around us is increasing. For the people who heard the letter of Peter, their world seemed to be shifting. It was not a gentle world, and neither is ours. The churches Peter wrote to knew they were under a great threat of death. And yet Peter told them, "Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay it with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing." It's as if he's clarifying for them that even in dangerous situations, as Christians, we are called to rise above whatever seeks to destroy human dignity and tell it no, it will not pass. Specifically, Christians are to rise above violence and stop the cycle of violence. Christians are also called to emulate the unpredictability of spirit. We are to take the negatives we find in the world and either expose them as evil or transform them to show the glory of God. Now, Peter was not calling for anyone to rise up in open revolution, but he made it plain that Christians cannot participate in systems that strip individuals of their status of beloved children of God. It's not only a nonviolent response to the world Peter calls for, but he calls upon Christians to stop the perpetual cycles of human degradation and violence around the world, which he saw rising in the empire in which he lived. To stop the cycles of human degradation without rising up. That is the Christian revolution the early church sought. And we too see many cycles of human degradation in our own world. Peter was also calling upon Christians to respond to issues in the world around them, as the Holy Spirit would do. He was not encouraging passive suffering, but he was suggesting thoughtful response. And that suggestion is what we want to focus on today. In chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, Peter tells the churches, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you and the counting of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Defend yourself with gentleness and reverence. Peter is reminding us not to be arrogant about our beliefs, not to suggest that our faith or our way of seeing things is superior to any other, but to speak about our own faith seriously and responsibly. Being serious and responsible about our faith can be especially difficult in a Facebook world. It means that even if you think the meme about a hurricane taking aim at Mar-a-Lago is funny, you probably shouldn't share it. Because it's not only testing God, but it's degrading to those who don't agree with you, and those who may actually face destruction. You see, Peter wanted Christians to be taken seriously in a world that disregarded them. So he reminded them, be a blessing. Be a blessing so there may continue to be a remnant of righteousness in a world that is not righteous. And Peter called upon members of the church to be ready to stand up and publicly witness to the power of God and Christ, even if doing so brought what would be frightening and even consequences that couldn't be imagined. Peter knew some of the Christians who would read his letter would be burned or thrown to the wolves. And yet he's telling them to stand up and publicly witness anyways. That's what he's calling us to do. And so this teaching is about gentleness. And this gentleness requires us to live with wisdom, just like in the song. Spirit has always been a bit more nimble than words allow us to express. And this fruit of the Spirit called gentleness is an active witness of faith, along with a willingness to accept the consequences that come from that witness. Now, there's nothing simple or even gentle about a statement or act of witness. It was particularly true for Christians in the time of Nero. There was nothing genteel for them about gentleness. And I'm afraid the same is true of our own time. We live in a time of great change. And in some ways, just as the church saw Nero burn Rome, we see parts of the world today literally set on fire in ways that may change the earth forever. So how can we live with gentleness in 2019? This week, I read a news article about John Fatto. I doubt you've heard of him. He's 95 years old, and he lives in New Zealand, and I'd really kind of like to meet him. after the mass shooting at the mosque in Christ Church. He couldn't sleep. The article quoted him saying, "You can feel the suffering of others." That too is something Peter was calling the churches to do, to have sympathy for those around them. And that's what John Sato did. So out of his distress over this event, he decided to go down to the mosque and pay his respects to those who died. It took him 2 city buses to get there. And once he saw the memorial to the dead outside the mosque, he decided he needed to do more. So he took 2 more buses to an anti-racism rally in the city. He didn't plan to do this. He just followed where the Spirit led. He followed where his compassion and sympathy led him. And because he didn't plan to do this, he really wasn't prepared. But in the end, other people at the rally gave him water. A policeman ended up driving him home so he wouldn't have to take so many buses. He's 95 years old. We can imagine he might be a little bit frail, but he's open to the help of other people. And in times of hate, he showed up. And showing up, he sparked the compassion of others. His witness empowered the others around him to act with compassion towards him. That is gentleness. So we've spent the last 10 weeks exploring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits of the Spirit do not always come easily to us. They take some work. They take digging deep within ourselves, and they may even require us to trust God a little bit more than we did before. To trust God to grow us into those people that we are made to be. So let us go forth from this summer, allowing ourselves to live by the Spirit and be guided by the Spirit. And all God's people said,